Hello, sir, and thank you for being here.
Hello, thank you for inviting me to your beautiful, beautiful podcast. It's a bit difficult to always have to introduce yourself. I'd always prefer other people to define me. But I guess I'm gonna go instead of sentences, I'm just gonna go with keywords, if that's okay with you.
Of course.
I'm just gonna say some keywords about myself. I think the most important things that I've been doing or which define me. I'm an author of 5 books and a poetry LP. I'm a social innovator and founder of Soul in the City, which is an undertaking of educational, artisting, and entertaining projects meant to stimulate and empower socially engaged multicultural dialogues. I'm a poet, I'm a performer, I'm a moderator, I'm a podcaster myself. I'm a polyglot, but I think the most important thing is that I'm an ambassador of multicultural dialogue. And I say this because it's something that I really take pride in. Through all my work and projects, I support and promote and empower international communities and artists and dialogue. So this is something that I have been doing for at least 7 years, if not 10, ever since I've been a writer. And I still do it and I still love doing it. I love to bring international people and international communities together and to grow together and do things together. So, yeah, I think the last keyword defines me the most.
Beautifully. Where are you from, sir? And I can understand a little bit from your introduction that you have traveled a lot and that you speak many languages as well. But let us know a little bit about your story, how it all started.
I don't know how much time do you have for this? But I'll try to keep it short. It started when I think I was about 10 years old, and I was introduced to the English language, which in my country was something of a kind. It was something unique because in that time, Russian and French were the languages that were supposed to be studied in school, and English was something. And I was studying French for a year now. When I was little, I was 10 years old, like I said. And I was introduced to the English language, and then I swear to you, with the first lesson, with the first class, and with the first words, I fell in love with this language. And ever since then, my adventure, so to say, in the languages world and in the traveling world has changed and have shaped me ever since.
So, where are you from originally?
I'm Romanian. I was born in Romania. And I was lucky enough to, during my childhood, to have both of the communist system and of the democratic system afterwards. So I was lucky enough to have had the possibility to travel and to study what I wanted and to go to the countries that I wanted, things that were not possible beforehand. So I was like in the generation, the first generation who was lucky enough to have access to the world, so to say.
I see. And you left Romania, I suppose, in a very, very young age, right?
No, I started traveling at a very young age. I mean, at a very young age for that time, it was a young age. Right now, 16, at 16, teenagers travel already. But for that time, in that country, starting traveling at that age was pretty young. But then I left the country when I was 22, I think.
How was your trajectory? You left the country for Italy. How it went for you?
So in the beginning, I lived in Italy for a while. Then I moved to France to finish my university studies. I was studying modern applied languages, back then, and I got a scholarship to for 1 year to study in France. And then I moved back to Italy, and then I moved back to Romania, and then I came to Germany, and it's where I stayed.
Beautifully.
So.
So you ended up in Berlin, that I believe it's the most ideal place for people like you, multicultural, full of art and intercultural dialogue as well. So how long you're in Berlin and why you chose Berlin?
That is right. Berlin, I think, is a very interesting city, a very versatile city. It combines a lot of international but also authentic things about Germany as well. Beforehand, I lived for about 7 or 8 years in South Germany, and when I moved to Berlin, I felt like I was moving completely in another country. Berlin by itself is like moving to another country. It's not still being in Germany. It's completely different from anything that you experience in Germany, anywhere you go. So yes, you're right. I think it's the best place to be for a person who loves and explores cultures and different ethnicities and different languages. This has always been my love, and I always pursued it privately but also professionally.
And would you like to talk a little bit about your art? You are a writer, as far as I understand. So, what kind of things you write, and how it all started for you, the writing?
I'm essentially a poet. I started with poetry, and it's interesting how people discover certain aspects of themselves. In my case, I have been writing, I think, all my life, ever since I was a child, but I never took it seriously. I just for me, there was just stories or diary entries or whatever. But at some point in my life, I had a very strong experience that impacted my entire life. It changed my whole life. And somehow it was a negative experience. And I think sometimes when people go through certain struggles or go through certain life-changing decisions, they somehow have to redefine their entire perspective of life. And in my case, it just happened that out of the sudden, I just took 3 weeks and wrote an entire book in 3 weeks, something that I had never done before. Without any practice, without any knowledge of the kind, without any training, without having taken any lessons, it just came out of the pain that I was living at that time. I just shaped itself into a book of poems. And it's when I realized about 10 years ago, I think it was, that I have a lot inside myself that had been choked for many years, and it just needed to come out somehow, and it had been just liberated. I don't want it to make it sound too esoterical or anything like that. It was just an amazing, beautiful experience that I had, and I didn't know that I had it in me. And it was somehow my way of getting out of a struggle or of a negative relationship that I was having. This was the product of that, and I will be always be grateful for this amazing result, because it just empowered me more, and it just helped me find my inner strength through art, and it helped me obviously to redefine everything that was important in my life, and to focus on myself and on what it was important.
Wow, and this was your first book of poems. So since then you have written 5 more books. They're all poetry books.
Four more books. So I have 5 in total. In time, obviously, I was influenced a lot by the trends of spoken word, so performative poetry, and by the trend of storytelling. And somehow I shifted from poetry to story poems, story poetry, which is similar, but it actually is a poem with a plot, is a poem with a story inside itself. So the shift is no longer just on the lyrical side, but also on the story.
And when you write, what triggers you? The first book, it was a personal experience, and that triggered you. It was also a healing vessel for you, the first book.
Yes.
But from the second book, and now, what triggers you to write the story poems?
I think it's always personal experiences that prompt people to be creative or to do something out of whatever experience we have. We want to make something out of it. And in my case, it's always something positive, no matter what I go through or no matter what I see or I experience. For me, it is important that I do something positive out of it. That's why my poetry is always positive. There is nothing about negativity or something painful, even though the starting point may be something painful, maybe something emotionally strong, the message and the ending or the exploration is always positive. So I always make sure that whatever I write, it comes from a place of hope and love, and it doesn't come from a place of anger and grudge and sorrow. So
beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like you translate maybe negative emotions, that they are also part of life and they are also important, but you translate them through your medium, that is poetry, into something positive, into
exactly.
a beautiful message
exactly.
as well. And what languages do you write in?
Well, I only write in English. Surprisingly, I know 6 languages, and I write just in one.
And it's not your mother tongue as well. That's also surprising. It's not your first language.
It's not. But it's the language of love for me. It's the language of my love. English for me is my love. And I've tried, obviously, in the past to write in Romanian and in Italian and also French a little bit, but I'm never satisfied with the result. I don't know, maybe because I'm a translator myself, and in my job I always make sure that it is, the translation is accurate, and it's very it doesn't work like that in poetry. You cannot have an accurate translation of a poem or of your feelings. The poem itself needs to run by itself and acquires its own feelings in the end. And it's very difficult for me with a translator's background to be able to translate one of my English poems, for example, into Romanian or into Italian. I'm never satisfied with the result, and I always end up by just giving it up. And I'd rather write 3-4 poems in English than translate one of my poems into the languages that I know. So
you touched my next question, that was about the challenges of translation and also the challenges of translating poetry in particular, because I am a writer myself and polyglot. I speak 5 languages. I only write poetry in Greek, which my first language is, but I write other things in English and in French. But I can never write poetry or even translate my poems in a language that is other than my first language. So you are a professional translator, of course. Have you ever translated poetry of other people? And what would you say would be the challenges of translating poetry?
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to, because it's related to the other question that you asked, what inspires me or what triggers me to write. In my case, it's just emotions. If I find something that moves me, something unique that moves me or inspires me, then I'm going to write something about it. And it can be, I'm never let's say writer that has a plan. I don't have a plan. I'm not supposed to write every day or every, I don't know, from this time to that other time. I write on the spur of the moment if something is very touching or something is unique or inspires me, and that triggers some emotion. And the reason why I link it is because I cannot do it, I cannot translate it in other languages because for me, the language of my emotions has always been English. I always expressed my emotions and my feelings in English, and that's why it's so easy for me to use this language, as you said, as a vessel for my feelings and for the poetry that I write. And when it comes to translating it into other languages, I don't know, I think I fail. Or I'm not happy enough, I'm not satisfied enough. I did translate my last book, Soul Diary, my latest book. It's translated in four other languages, in German, Italian, and Romanian. So four languages all in all. It's English, Italian, Romanian, and German. But I did work with translators and specialized in literary translations. And I'm proud to say that the result is beautiful. I edited the Italian and the Romanian part myself. And it's just amazing because I realized that these people had took the liberties in somehow transposing and transposing the original text into a new text that was appropriate for that language. So they not only translated, but they kind of localized it to the authenticity of that specific language. And for me, it was just a beautiful result, and I was happy. And I was sure that I could have not do it myself. I could have. I only did the post-editing part, but not the translation itself. Somehow, in my mind and in my heart, English is the only loyal language that can render my feelings in a way that I want them to come out. So yeah, I hope I answered the
Yes.
question and I did not
No,
divert too much from the question.
it was exactly what I was aiming for as well, the challenges of translating poetry in particular. That is very, very, very special, very different from translating a novel or a children's book. Poetry, it's based on the language that is written originally. So it's a huge work to translate it. So my next question is, why poetry? Why shall we write poetry today? Do we need poetry? What is the role of the poet today, the young poet like you, in today's world that is fast racing and that is moving through other mediums? It's very visual, our world. It's not so much listening. And yeah, why poetry? Why do you think we still need poets?
That's a very pertinent question. I would not promote only poetry. I would say all the artistic means are valid enough and beautiful enough to be heard and to be promoted and supported. I even started with poetry because it was for me the appropriate means to express what I had to say to the world. But as we know, poetry has evolved from the static place where it used to be, from, I don't know, Schiller and Goethe, It just moved, and it became a movement by itself. We had a slam poetry who started in the 80s in the US, which involved a lot of other elements, like involving even the audience. And we have the spoken word, which involved the performance and other artistic elements, like music, theater. So poetry has become an artistic movement. It's no longer just a style. And it just grew a lot throughout the times, and with the help of the young generations who are dealing with a lot of problems nowadays, a lot of social and political problems. And poetry has become more of it prompts some sort of reaction. It's no longer something passive that somebody reads in a corner of a room, but it's something very active. It has become something active that requires and demands a certain action or reaction from the society, not just from the public in a room. And I love that, and I encourage that every time with all the projects that we're having through our organization to pursue that, because it's just something that in the end defines us. So poetry has become something that defines us, and a tool to fight in our rights, and in our let's say in our world to make it better and to make it to make it for everybody as we want to have it. Because
more
if we don't put the work,
yes.
Yeah, if we don't put the work in it, we're never gonna have what we want to have. So, one of the quotes that I always live by is that the world is not as it is how we make it to be. Mm-hmm. And that's the role that I see in poetry nowadays, through the activism and through the advocacies that that people have in expressing themselves. It's the best political tool to overcome anything that comes at us.
The last question is a bit about the soul and the city with your organization. And I would like you to elaborate a little bit to let us know what is this organization, what is its aims and missions and wishes, and the future plans. And of course, where can we find you? Where can we find your events? And where can we find the soul and the city? The website, your events, if you have a physical place in Berlin and all this.
Yeah, so I'm gonna say a fancy definition of soul in the city, and then I'm gonna be practical about it, because I think it's more important to give precise understanding of who we are and what we do. So soul in the city is an undertaking of educational, artistic, and entertaining projects, and they are all meant to stimulate and support and empower socially engaged multicultural dialogues. That being said, we are a collective team, so I'm not alone. I'm always helped by incredible artists who are involved in different projects that I create. I just have the vision and the idea, and then when I put it into motion, I have an incredible team of people who are always helpful, and we do things together, and I love that about it. So practically, we have a lot of international projects and hubs connecting different cities around the world. We have masterclasses, creative masterclasses, educational masterclasses. We have publishing services for emerging artists who want to publish their chapbook or their first book. We have a podcast focused on exploring and international communities in each city that we visit. We have artistic events, obviously, that help and support local artists. We have charity events, which is something that it's very important to my heart because at the end of each year, we create one artistic event dedicated exclusively to charity. And then all of these words that we're using, to make a better world, we literally put them into practice and we do something about it and we do support. We have clean water programs or child and support development programs. So we do all of these projects on different levels. We have an international tour coming up. We have a worldwide anthology coming up, which is again a unique project that hasn't been done yet. And we're doing this with 30 countries and 30 artists from all over the world. I think it's five continents that are represented. So we're gonna have that next year with Soul in the City International Days. So we're having all these interesting projects. Some of them are unique. Others are just ways to support and to promote the communities, not only ours, the local community in Berlin, but also international communities who are experiences just like us, the same problems in interconnecting or in growing or in developing their own artists and their own projects. So yeah, that's what we do at Soul in the City. We do not have an office per se. Most of our events are in Berlin, locally, but also internationally. We are planning an international tour with Soul in the City. But we can be reached by email, by phone, and all on the social media outlets that we have on Instagram and Facebook. We're not on TikTok.
Do you have
That's
it?
something that we're not on TikTok. I think it's the only place we're not in yet. But I don't know if it's gonna come. But we are on YouTube, on all the pertinent platforms. I'm not saying TikTok is not pertinent. It's just a bit too teeny for me. I think it's something that we're still thinking if we want to join or not. But so far we are all over on the social media networks and outlets and as a website is soaring-words.com. There we have a dedicated page to Soul in the City and all of the projects that I just mentioned a little bit about.
And your future project is this international tour you mentioned for next year, right? For 2022?
No, the International Days, the Soul in the
Days.
City International Days, which will include the release of the worldwide anthology with 30 authors from 30 countries. So that's in plan for next year for sure. And we have the other one, the international tour, will be after that. So.
And in Berlin, you have regular events, for example, once a month in a place where somebody can find you.
Yes. One of the regular events is Love, Sweat, and Laughter. We actually have our upcoming event on the 2nd of December. We are hosted by L'Étretat on the Veteranenstraße 31. I don't know if you know it. Oh, 21, sorry, 21.
In the Accord
Yes,
complex.
yes, yes.
Yes, of course I know, of course.
Yes. So there we will have Love, Sweat, and Laughter. On the 2nd of December, and then it will be followed by our regular charity event, like I said, the yearly event. It's called All I Want for Christmas, and it's on the 15th, sorry, 12th, 12th of December. Same location. So
Beautiful.
these are two upcoming events, and yeah,
And
we
if
invite and encourage everybody to take part because they're just amazing. Events and both of them will be with a specific purpose, and the second one with a charity, like I said, targeted to support children and clean water. So yeah, we welcome everybody to these two events in December.
Sora, thank you so much, and I wish you all the best of luck with the events, but also with the Soul in the City. That sounds really an amazing project and a very Berlin project. I can so much, not being in Berlin myself at the moment, I can so much picture it being in Berlin and also representing a little bit the atmosphere of the city. So congratulations on this project. Sounds really, really amazing. And all the best of luck, and thank you for sharing your work with us.
Thank you so much for having me, and we will look forward to seeing you in Berlin, to welcoming you back in Berlin. It is just amazing that we somehow probably crossed paths, but we never had a chance to talk and interact. And I'm super happy for this occasion that we did have the time to know each other. And I appreciate a lot you giving us a little bit of space in your programs and in your radio talk. And yeah, we hope to welcome you back in Berlin and to make more interesting and beautiful projects together.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to meeting you in person as well.
Me too, me too.
Ciao.
Thank you.
Thank you.